Star Wars, The Courtship of Princess Leia, by Dave Wolverton. Call from Ambassador Leia Organa. On the small screen, Leia was smiling, euphoric.
Oh, Han, I'm so glad you're here.
I miss you, too.
Come down to Coruscant, to the Grand Reception Hall. The Hapen ambassadors are about to arrive.
What do they want?
It's not what they want, it's what they're offering. I went to Hapes, and I spoke with the Queen Mother 3 months ago. I asked her for aid in our fight against Warlord Zinj. She promised to think about it. I can only guess they've come to give that aid.
Lately, Han had begun to realize that the war against the remnants of the Empire might take years, even decades, to win. Zinj and some lesser warlords were firmly entrenched in over a third of the galaxy. But the warlords now seemed to be on the move, pillaging entire star systems as they swept toward the free worlds. The New Republic could not patrol such a vast front. Just as the old Empire had struggled to repel the Rebel Alliance, the New Republic battled the might of the warlords and their vast fleets. Han didn't want Leia to get her hopes raised for a Hapen alliance.
Don't expect too much from the Hapens, he said. I've never heard of them giving anyone anything, except a hard time.
The Grand Reception Hall was an enormous building, more than 1,000 meters long, with 14 levels for seating. But as Han neared the entrance portals, he found that all of them were jammed with curious onlookers eager to see the Hapens. Han ran past the first 5 entrances, then saw a golden protocol droid nervously trying to stand on tiptoe to see over the crowd.
3PO, you hunk of tin!
Han shouted.
General Solo, 3PO responded. Princess Leia asked that I find you and escort you to the Alderaanian ambassador's balcony. I was afraid I'd missed you in the crowd.
They climbed a ramp that led them up a long, winding corridor, passing door after door, and halted by a balcony entrance. Within, looking through the glass onto the procession below, were Thraken Horm, president of the powerful Alderaanian Council, an immensely fat man who rested in a repulsor chair rather than try to carry his own weight, Mon Mothma, commander of the New Republic, and a couple of other diplomats. The diplomats were watching Leia, who sat on a dais in the open-air hall, regally gazing on a Hapen diplomatic shuttle that had landed on a pad built within the great hall. Han went to Mon Mothma.
What's going on? Why aren't you down on the dais with Leia?
I was not invited, Mon Mothma replied.
But you're the elected leader of the New Republic.
And Queen Mother T'Achum feels threatened by our democratic ways. No, I think it best that T'Achum's ambassadors speak through Leia if she makes them feel more comfortable. Have you counted the number of battle dragons in the Hapen fleet? Never have the Hapens initiated contact with us on such a grand scale. I suspect this is the most important contact our peoples have made in the past 3 millennia.
Han would not say it, but he himself felt slighted at not being seated by Leia's side.
They waited only a moment before the Hapens began to disembark. First from the shuttle came a beautiful woman with long dark hair, wearing a shimmering peach-colored dress. This woman, apparently the ambassador, approached Leia and dropped gracefully to one knee. In a strong voice, she said something in Hapen.
What'd she say? Han asked 3PO. Worthy Leia, I offer gifts from the 63 worlds of Hapes, the droid replied.
The woman then turned and clapped her hands. Dozens of women in gold dresses descended from the ship, running quickly and playing silver flutes or drums, while others sang,
Hapes, Hapes, Hapes.
The sound of drums thundered. Several women rushed from the shuttle, bearing a large opalescent container. They spilled the contents onto the floor. The whole crowd gasped.
Rainbow gems from Galanor.
Thraken Horm whispered. The gems glittered in dozens of shades, from brilliant cardinal to blazing emerald. One gem could buy a Calamarian cruiser, yet the Hapens had thrown hundreds to the floor. A second trio of women descended from the diplomatic shuttle, wearing leathers in colors of tawny ochre and cinnamon. Between them floated a platform that bore a small, gnarled tree with ruddy brown fruits. Twin lights floated above it, beaming steadily like the suns of some desert world. 3PO translated the ambassador's explanation.
From Salab, a tree of wisdom bearing fruits.
It was said that the fruit of the wisdom trees could greatly boost the intelligence of those who had passed into old age. A man came forward to the sound of the music, a cyborg warrior dressed in full Hapen body armor, black with silver trim. He laid some sort of mechanical device in front of Leia. The ambassador spoke again.
From the high-tech world of Charuba, we offer a gun of command.
Han leaned against the glass for support. The gun of command had made the Hapen troops nearly irresistible in small arms combat, for it released an electromagnetic wave field that virtually neutralized an enemy's voluntary thought processes. Those shot with the gun of command followed any orders given them. One by one, other representatives of the Hapen worlds came forth to present magnificent gifts for Leia, until Han lost count. At last, the singer stopped singing and the drum stopped beating, and a portion of the wealth of the hidden worlds of Hapes lay scattered on the floor of the grand reception hall. The silence in the hall seemed heavy, ominous, and Han waited to hear what they would ask in return. His blood thrilled, for he realized they could only want one thing, a pact with the New Republic. The Hapens would ask the New Republic to join them in an all-out war against the warlords, who were the last remnants of the Empire. Gazing into Leia's eyes, the Hapen ambassador said,
"We have saved our greatest gift for last."
Two women dressed in black came from the ship. A man walked between them. He wore a silver circlet that held a black veil in front of his face, and his blonde hair fell down around his shoulders. The man was bare-chested, except for a small silk half-cloak fastened with silver clasps. He sat on his haunches, hands resting lightly on his knees, and the women pulled back his black veil. The man was incredibly handsome, and his deep-set blue-gray eyes radiated humor and wisdom. Han realized that this must be some high dignitary from the royal house of Hapes itself. 3PO translated the ambassador's introductions.
From Hapes, the Queen Mother offers her greatest treasure, her son, Isolde, the Trumeda, whose wife shall reign as queen.
Everyone below seemed to talk at once. Han stepped away from the window.
What? What does that mean?
T'ar Chum wants Leia to marry her son, Mon Mothma answered softly. I know how you feel about her, General Solo, but we need the wealth of Hapes to help win the war. I think I speak for everyone in the New Republic when I say that for all our sakes, I hope she accepts the offer.
Luke Skywalker could sense the ruins of the ancient Jedi Master's home before he got to the place. Like the landscape of Tula itself, a barren plain where short purple lichens thrust up from patches of thin winter ice, the ruins felt clean and refreshing, the former habitat of a good Jedi. R2 whistled from behind, asking Luke to slow down as the little droid negotiated a treacherous patch of ice. Together they traveled north until they reached three huge flat rocks that formed the roof and sides of a tunnel. The tunnel smelled dry, and Luke pulled a mini-lantern from his utility belt and made his way down. On the tunnel's dirt floor, Luke found the ancient boot prints of Imperial stormtroopers. He wondered if any of them would have belonged to his father. Only Darth Vader could have killed the Jedi Master who had lived in these caverns. The tunnels wound down through storage rooms carved deep beneath the ground. Luke followed them toward the clean feeling of the Jedi, and finally found the dead Master's room. The body had disappeared, as Yoda's and Ben's had after their deaths, but Luke could feel the residue of the Master's force. For months now, Luke had followed this man's trail. As curator of the records of the Jedi at Coruscant, the man had seemed only a minor functionary, hardly worthy of notice by the invading Imperials. Yet he had fled Coruscant with the records of 1,000 generations of Jedi. Luke sought the records, hoping they would explain the deeper mysteries of how the Jedi had trained their warriors, their healers, their seers. Luke followed R2's whistle down a hallway that led to blackened rooms carved in the stone, where cell after cell of holographic video recordings had been stored. But the recordings were blasted and burned to cinders. Computer cylinders lay in piles of molten slag, their memory cores fried. Nothing was left. All of it gone. The knowledge and deeds of 1,000 generations of Jedi. The Emperor had not been content to murder the Jedi. He'd felt the need to extinguish their fire from the universe and crush the embers so they would never rise again. R2's excited whistle came from down the hall near the end of the tunnel. He had found a cell where the records were not melted. A thermal detonator still lay atop them, an obvious dud. The grenade had fragmented, but Luke wondered how effective it had been. Luke took a computer cylinder from the top, plugged it into R2. The droid bent forward, preparing to display the hologram, but after a moment ejected the cube with a grinding wheeze. A second cube failed as well. Luke searched for a cylinder further from the grenade. Brushing one with his fingers, he felt a distinct sense of peace.
This one. This one, a voice seemed to whisper. This is what you seek. He popped the cylinder into R2, and almost immediately the droid caught a signal. Images flashed in the air before the droid, an ancient throne room where one by one Jedi came before their High Master to give reports.
Yet the hollow was fragmented, so Luke got only bits and pieces. A blue-skinned man describing details of a grueling space battle against pirateers. A yellow-eyed Twi'lek with lashing headtails who told of discovering a plot to kill an ambassador. Then Yoda appeared on the hollow. His color was more vibrantly green than Luke remembered, and he did not use his walking stick. Most of the audio was erased, but through the background hiss, Yoda clearly said,
"We tried to free the Chunfa from Dathomir, but were repulsed by the witches. Where 14 acolytes killed. Go back to retrieve."
The audio hissed away, and soon the hollow image dissolved to blue static. Leia gazed at the Haven ambassador in shock. She looked up to the windows of the Alderaanian balcony, wondering what to answer. Han had turned away and was speaking excitedly to Mon Mothma. Above the uproar, Leia said to the ambassador, "Tell Ta'achum that her gifts are exquisite, her generosity unbounded. Still, I need time to consider the offer."
"Please, may I speak?" Princess Older asked in accented basic. "I know your customs differ from ours. Among the ancients, this is how we arranged our royal marriages. But I want you to feel comfortable with any decision. Please, take time to get to know Hapes. Take time to get to know me."
Leia glanced up again at the observation deck. Han had left with Chewbacca. Mon Mothma did not move, but Thrakenhorm nodded, urging Leia on. Leia invited Isolde to dine with her that evening. Then she quickly left the grand reception hall, thousands watching her departure. She only wanted to find Han. When he felt worried or frustrated, he liked to work on the Falcon. Working with his hands, solving familiar problems seemed to ease his mind. She found the Falcon at docking bay 90. Han and Chewie were at the control panels, worrying over the tangled mass of wires that connected to various projectile and energy shields. Chewbacca greeted her, but Han sat holding a plasma torch facing away. Chewbacca quickly went down to the hold. Han finally turned to Leia, and she took his grimy hands in hers, saying, "I couldn't just send them away. Even if I don't want to marry their prince, I can't destroy our chance to build a relationship with them."
"I know," Han sighed. "You'd do just about anything to win against them."
"Now what is that supposed to mean?"
"You hated the Empire, but now Zinj and the warlords are all that's left of it. You risked your life fighting them a dozen times. I suspect you'd still give your life for the New Republic now. But instead of dying for it, you'll live for it."
"I couldn't do that."
"I have to admit, the Hapens sure made a tempting offer today. You hear rumors about the riches of the Hidden Worlds, but wow. Did you get to see much of Hapes while you were there?"
"Yes," Leia answered. "You should see what the Queen Mothers have built over the centuries. The cities are beautiful, stately, serene. But it's not just the homes or factories. It's their people, their ideals. It feels like peace."
Han looked up into her dreamy eyes.
"You're in love."
"No, I'm not."
But Han stood and grabbed her shoulders.
"Yes, you are. Listen, sweetheart, you may not be in love with Isolde, but you're in love with his world. When the Emperor destroyed Alderaan, he destroyed everything you loved. You can't put that behind you. You're homesick."
Leia caught her breath, realizing it was true. She had never quit grieving for Alderaan, for friends lost. Hapes did remind her of that lost world. The tears started to well up. Han held her close.
"No need to cry."
"Oh, everything is such a mess. I keep hoping we'll find a new home world, but nothing seems to work.
Some of the Alderaanian council members are just giving up."
"What about the gifts the Hapens gave you today? They would go a long way toward making a big down payment on a planet for new Alderaan."
"Oh, you don't know the Hapens. If I accept their gifts, it's an all-or-nothing deal. Unless I marry Isolde, I have to give it all back."
Then give it back. I don't think you want to get involved with the Hapens. They're a bad lot.
You don't even know them.
The Hapens have kept closed borders for over 3,000 years. I've seen firsthand what happens when you get too close to them. Believe me, they're hiding something.
Do you really feel so threatened by Isolde?
Threatened? By that big lout, of course not.
She knew he was lying. Then you won't mind that I'm having a private dinner with him tonight?
Dinner? No, why should I mind that he's dining with the woman I love? The woman who claims to be in love with me.
You are so cute. I came here to invite you to dinner, too. But now I think that maybe I should just let you sit up here and gnaw on your own petty, jealous fantasies.
She stormed from the control room as Han shouted,
Well, fine. I'll see you at dinner.
He banged a wall with his fist. After Leia left, Han threw his heart into working on the Falcon. He used a few tricks he'd learned to boost the efficiency of the rear energy deflector shields, while Chewie pulled out the main focusing lenses for the ventral blasters. 2 hours of hard work later, an entourage entered the docking bay with fat old Thraken Horm in the lead. The president of the Alderaanian Council floated in his repulsor chair as he led Prince Isolde, the prince's bodyguards, and half a dozen curious minor statesmen around the bay.
This, as you can see, is one of our repair docks,
Thraken Horm said.
And this is our esteemed General Han Solo, a hero of the New Republic, working on his private, ship, the Millennium Falcon.
Princess Isolde scrutinized the Falcon, gazing at the rusting metal exterior, the odd panoply of components. Somehow, in all his years running the thing, Han had never felt quite so embarrassed by it. Isolde stood taller than Han, and his thick chest and arms seemed intimidating. But not as intimidating as his regal manners or the calm strength of his face.
Han here is an old friend to Princess Leia Organa,
Thraken Horm added.
He has, in fact, saved her life a number of times, if I'm not mistaken.
Isolde smiled warmly at Han.
So, you're not only Leia's friend, but her savior. Our people owe you a great debt.
Oh, I guess you could say, I'm more than her savior,
Han answered.
We're lovers, to be precise.
General Solo, Thraken sputtered, but Princess Isolde raised a hand.
That is all right. I can understand why you would be attracted to her. I hope my appearance here hasn't been too unsettling.
Yeah, annoying is the word. I mean, it's not as if I wish you were dead or anything. Neutered, perhaps, not dead.
I apologize, Princess Isolde, Thraken stuttered. I rather expected more civility from a New Republic general.
Believe me, no offense is taken. General Solo is a warrior, and he wishes to do battle for the woman he loves.
Isolde studied the Falcon for a moment, then bowed slightly to Han.
This is a smuggler ship, no?
Fast speed, secret compartments, hidden weaponry.
Han shrugged.
I'm familiar with smugglers. I left home when I was young and worked for a few seasons as a profiteer.
Have you seen one of our Hapi's Nova-class battlecruisers?
No, Han answered, feeling curiosity and a sudden sense of respect for the prince. The prince said,
They're over 400 meters long, go without refueling for over a year, are very fast, and could blow this ship out of the sky. Are you threatening me?
No, Isolde said. I will give one to you, if you promise to use it to fly far, far away from here.
Han leaned forward.
No deal. If you love her, then leave her to me. She wants the security that Hapes offers her people.
But loving you would only cramp her, give her a smaller life than she deserves.
Wait a minute, Han said.
What's going on here? Let's put all our weapons on the table.
What do you mean? Isolde asked.
I mean, there are a lot of princesses in the universe. Why did your mother choose Leia? She has no wealth, nothing to offer Hapes.
Isolde looked down into Han's eyes and smiled.
I understand that Leia has invited you to dine this evening. I think, perhaps, both of you should hear what I have to say.
When Han arrived at the Alderaanian consulate for dinner, the party was already into its second course. It was obvious that Leia had not expected him. As the servers hurriedly set a place for Han, Leia introduced him to Isolde. Thraken Horm blurted rather icily,
They've already met.
Leia looked at Thraken, whose face was reddening in anger, and Han said,
Yeah, the prince stopped by for a chat. We found that we have some things in common.
Oh, really? I'd like to hear all about it.
Yes, General Solo,
Thraken growled. There was an awkward pause, and Princess Olga cut in. I was fascinated to learn that both General Solo and I had once worked as privateers. It really is a small universe.
As privateers? Leia asked suspiciously,
and released a breath in relief.
Yes, when I was a boy, still in my teens, privateers attacked the royal flagship and murdered my older brother. That is when I became the Chumeda, the heir. I was young, idealistic, so I secretly left home, assumed a new identity. For 2 years, I plied the trade lines as a privateer, working on ship after ship, hunting for the pirate who killed my brother.
What an intriguing story, Leia said. Did you ever find him?
Yes, I did. His name was Haravan. He was murdered in prison while awaiting trial, before he could ever name his accomplices.
There was an uncomfortable silence for a moment.
Han cleared his throat. Do you have a lot of problems with privateers in the Hapis cluster?
Not really, Isolde said.
The interior of the cluster is remarkably secure, but our encounters on the rim are frequent and frequently bloody. I survived one of those encounters as a privateer, Han said. After what we went through, I'm amazed that pirates would work your cluster.
Han began to realize that this foreign prince must have a great deal of grit hidden beneath his smooth exterior.
Isolde shrugged.
The Hapis cluster is very rich, and that always attracts interest from outsiders. But I'm sure you know our history.
Your history? Han asked.
Leia said, The Hapis cluster was originally settled by pirates, a group called the Laurel Raiders. For hundreds of years, they stalked the trade routes of the Old Republic, seizing ships, stealing cargo. And when they found a beautiful woman, some raider would take her as a prize to the hidden worlds of Hapis.
In short, Han, the raiders were your kind of people.
Han began to protest, but Leia smiled warmly, teasing him.
Thrakenhorm said, So the women of Hapis raised their children as best they could. The pirates would steal the boys, making them pirates in turn. They would leave a month at a time, then come back to rest.
When the Jedi finally wiped out the Laurel Raiders, the pirate fleets never returned, Princess Holder said. The worlds of Hapis were forgotten for a time, and the women of Hapis took control of their own destiny and vowed that no man would ever rule them again. For thousands of years now, the Queen Mothers have kept that vow.
And they've done a fine job for their worlds, Leia said.
Still, sadly, a few of our young men feel powerless in our society. And so they glorify the old ways. When they rebel, often they become pirates. Thus we have a perennial problem.
But we are off the subject, Thrakenhorm said. I believe Leia asked what you two talked about today.
He glared at Han.
Ah, yes, Princess Olga said.
Han asked a question which I believe deserves an answer. He wondered, with all the other princesses in the universe, why my mother would choose Leia. The truth is, I chose her. When Leia's shuttle landed on Hapis, she met my mother for a soiree in the gardens. They were so surrounded by dignitaries from the worlds of Hapis that Leia did not speak to me, perhaps never even saw me. But I became enamored of her. No other woman has captivated me this way.
Isolde kissed Leia's hand, and she blushed.
Then Han's mind went blank, and the next thing he knew, he was rising from the table, stumbling out of his chair. All eyes turned to him, and suddenly feeling clumsy and stupid, he sat down. His mind was in such a turmoil that he said nothing, practically heard nothing, through the rest of the dinner. As they prepared to leave an hour later, Han gave Leia a quick kiss goodnight. Thrakenhorm shook Leia's hand warmly and left first, while Prince Isolde stood and talked quietly with her, thanking her for spending time with him. He made some small joke, and Leia laughed quietly. Just as Han realized that Isolde was hesitant to leave Leia, the prince kissed her good night. It started as a friendly kiss, the kind that dignitaries often exchange, but he lingered a second, and then for a second more. He stepped away, and Leia gazed into his eyes. A moment later, both he and Han were outside her door, Isolde walking off with his bodyguards at his back.
I'm going to fight you for her,
Han said to the prince's back.
The prince stiffened, turned.
I know, but I promise you, General Solo, I intend to win her.
Outside the consulate, Han leaned against a wall, and considered his options. Even if he won Leia's hand, what could he really give her? Certainly not the riches the Hapens offered. Han could see only one way to match Isolde's wealth. He pulled a comlink from his belt and thumbed a number. The image of a huge, rubbery brown hut appeared on screen, staring at Han with dark, drugged eyes.
"Tala, you old thief," Han said with false enthusiasm. "I need your help. I'd like to take out a loan on the Millennium Falcon, and I want you to get me into a Sabacc game tonight. A big one."
Captain Astarte, Prince Isolde's personal guard, woke Isolde in his room.
"We picked up a coded message just an hour ago," she said. "It was beamed to all the ships in our fleet. We suspect it was an assassination order."
"Who was to be assassinated?"
"The order did not name the target, nor the time or place. The complete message reads, 'The temptress seems too interested. Take action.' I know it's cryptic, but to me, at least, the meaning is clear."
"Did you notify the New Republic security that Leia is in jeopardy?"
Astarte hesitated. "I'm not convinced that Leia is the target."
If Isolde died, the royal line would fall to his Aunt Sakaya's daughter. Isolde asked,
"So you think I am to be the target this time?"
"I think so, my lord," Astarte answered. "Your aunt could blame it on the outsiders, on factions within the Republic, on some warlord who feared the marriage union, even on General Solo."
Isolde's aunts and mother, all were vicious women, cunning and deceitful. He had hoped that by marrying outside the Hapi's royal line, he would find someone like Leia, someone untainted by the avarice that plagued the women of his family.
"You will notify New Republic security of the threat," Isolde ordered. "If my aunt has managed to plant an assassin on this ship, perhaps they can help uncover her identity. Beyond that, you will assign half my personal guard to protect Leia."
That evening, Han found himself in a seamy dive in Coruscant's underworld, a casino that had not seen sunlight in over 90,000 years because layer upon layer of buildings and streets had been constructed over it. To Han's left sat a Kalumai counselor in an anti-grav harness with a head so large that the blue, throbbing, worm-like veins around his cerebrum were far longer than his scrawny, useless legs. The Kalumai's vast intellect had made him one of the most feared gambling opponents in the galaxy. Across from Han sat Omagh, a Drachmarian warlord known for her wealth. Her pale blue scales were polished to a high gloss, and green clouds of methane inside her helmet hid her vicious teeth and snout. Also to his left sat an ambassador from Gotal, a gray-skinned, gray-bearded creature, who played with his eyes closed, relying on the two huge sensory horns atop his head to probe the other player's emotions.
"I will call your bet," the Gotal whispered to Han, "and I'll raise you 40 million credits.
3PO bent close and whispered in Han's ear,
"May I remind you, sir, that the odds are 65,536 to 1 against anyone winning 8 hands in a row?"
But Han beat the odds.
"You've won!"
3PO shouted, and the Gotal ambassador collapsed and began making small barking noises that Han guessed were sobs. The Kalumai regarded Han coldly from enormous black eyes.
"Congratulations, General Solo," he said. "I regret that this game has become too expensive for my tastes."
"You are very rich, human,"
the Drachmarian warlord hissed through the speakers of her helmet. She set two gigantic paws on the table, scraping her talons over the ancient black metal.
"Too rich. You may not make it out of the underworld alive."
"I'll take my chances," Han said. He downed a mug of Corellian spiced ale. "Double or nothing?" he asked. The Drachmarian nodded and whispered to a security droid in the shadows at her back. The droid swiveled guns toward Han, then popped open a vault in its belly. The Drachmarian pulled out a hollow cube.
"This planet has been in family for many generations. It is worth 2.4 billion credits. If you win the next game, you will own the planet. If I win, I will own both the planet and the money."
She clawed a button on the cube, and the image of a planet appeared in the air. Class M, nitrogen and oxygen atmosphere, three continents in a vast ocean. The hollow began rotating through a series of shots of beasts grazing on a wide purple plain, a bluish sun setting over a tropical jungle, a flight of dazzling birds sweeping over an ocean that resembled colored glass. Perfect. Han began sweating again. What's he call?
Dathomir,
the Drachmarian breathed. 3PO leaned close. May I remind you, sir, that the odds are 131,072 to 1 against you taking 9 hands in a row? When Leia answered the door of her room at the Alderaanian consulate, she found Han there, bathed in sweat, his hair a mess. He smiled at her enormously, his bloodshot eyes gleaming with joy. He shoved a small box wrapped in gold foil into her hand. Open it. Leia thumbed the switch and watched the planet materialize in the air before her. Oh, Han! Leia's face glowed. What's its name?
Dathomir.
Dathomir? She frowned, trying to place it.
In the Drachmar system. I want it from Warlord Omog.
Well, this can't be in the Drachmar system, Leia said with certainty. It's only got one sun. She went to her console and locked into Coruscant's computer network, asking for the coordinates to Dathomir. In a minute, they came up on screen. Leia looked into Han's face, saw his manic joy turn into a frown.
But that can't be. That's in the Quelli sector. Warlord Zinja's territory.
Leia smiled regretfully. This ought to teach you never to play cards with a Drachmarian.
You really shouldn't go to this meeting, Isolde said.
Leia smiled tolerantly at the prince. He was, after all, only interested in protecting her, but after tripping over his bodyguards for the past 2 days, she was beginning to wonder if he wasn't overly protective. I'll be all right, she said. Isolde took Leia's arm as she went out to wait for the hover car that would take her to an important diplomatic meeting.
Could I come with you? I could not live with myself if anything should happen to you.
Leia studied his eyes. Isolde had hinted that factions on Hapes would object to the Union, and already she had heard reports through the New Republic spy networks that warlords on the far side of the galaxy were making efforts to sabotage the Union.
All right, you can accompany me.
Leia admired Isolde for having the courtesy to ask to accompany her. Han would have demanded it. They strolled out to the curb, flanked by Isolde's Amazon bodyguards, to wait under the marble porte-cochere for Leia's hover car. The broad streets were fairly empty at this time of the morning. A couple of itchy tibs strolling, an old droid painting the lamp posts. Suddenly a black hover car plowed down the street and swerved in close. The tinted glass on the passengers' windows shattered as someone shoved a blaster barrel through. Down! One of Isolde's bodyguards shouted, and the woman leapt in front of Leia as the first volley of red bolts cut through the air. One of the bolts caught the woman in the chest, lifted her, and threw her back. Isolde pushed Leia behind one of the broad pillars of the porte-cochere and was a blur of motion as he pulled a small gold shield and a blaster from his belt. Leia heard a humming noise and a second volley issued from the car, but the red flaming bolts hit the air in front of them and exploded harmlessly. A thin blue circular haze shimmered before Isolde. Personal shielding, she realized. A burst of blaster fire whizzed past Leia's head, hitting the marble above them, and Leia turned. The droid that had been painting on the corner was firing a blaster at them. Leia lunged for the dead guard's blaster, fired off 2 quick rounds, and the droid hid behind his lamppost.
Astarte, get the droid!
Isolde shouted. 2 men leapt out of the hover car, firing. Isolde held the shield before him, lunged at his attackers. 2 more bolts whizzed past Isolde's head, and Astarte fired at the droid, hitting it at mid-torso. Metal bits flew into the air, and then the droid's power plant exploded. The prince swung his shield as a weapon, and its energy field knocked his attackers backward. Blue sparks erupted in the air as it made contact. 1 man cried out and dropped his blaster, holding his burned face. Isolde raised the shield over his head, spun it, and tossed it at the second attacker. The shield caught the assassin in the chest, sliced through him like a lightsaber. And then Isolde aimed his blaster at the remaining assassin, who was screaming in agony, clutching his face. He once had been a handsome man, Leia thought. Too handsome. A Hapen.
Who hired you?
Isolde demanded. The assassin screamed something in Hapen. Suddenly he whipped a second gun from his waist, pointed it at his own head, and pulled the trigger. Isolde grabbed Leia and took her back into the house. Astarte bolted the door after them.
Who sent them? Leia asked.
He wouldn't say, Isolde answered briefly.
He only begged me to kill him. Outside, through the walls, Leia could hear New Republic forces shouting as they sought to secure the area. Isolde stood, panting, listening intently, trying to eavesdrop on his bodyguard speaking with the police outside. He held Leia lightly, protectively, and her heart hammered. She pushed at him gently and said, "Thank you for saving me." He looked down into her eyes and kissed her passionately.
"Come away with me to Hapes. Come, see the worlds you will rule."
Leia found herself crying. At that moment, her feelings for Han became as insubstantial as fog, and Isolde was the sun burning it all away. With tears running down her cheeks, she promised, "I'll come with you." Standing at the podium in the plush council room, Thraken Horm intoned,
"As you all know, I have called this session of the Alderaanian Council so that we can discuss preparations for Princess Leia's marriage to Prince Isolde, the Chumeda of Hapes."
The crowd erupted into vigorous applause. Leia stood.
"Thraken, members of the council, I would like to thank you all for coming here, but don't you think this is a bit premature? I haven't consented to marry Princess Isolde yet."
"Oh, Leia,"
Thraken smiled condescendingly.
"Often in the past, your clear head and cautiousness have served you well. But in this particular case..."
"Councilman Horm?"
Leia turned, saw 3PO waving from the back of the room excitedly.
"Oh, Councilman Horm, may I address the council?"
"What? Let a droid address the council?"
Horm said. "He may only be a councilor droid, but I think we should let him speak," Leia said.
"Well, I would like to propose that the council should begin planning Her Highness's wedding to General Han Solo."
"What? Why, this is preposterous. General Solo isn't even royalty."
"I beg to differ. I've discovered some startling facts that all of you seem to have overlooked, possibly because General Solo has labored to hide them. Although the Corellians became a republic nearly 3 centuries ago, by birthright, Han Solo is the king of Corellia."
Han was trying to scrunch down into his seat at the back of the room. He had asked the protocol droid to dig up some information that would win Leia back, but this announcement was the last thing in the universe he had expected.
"Indeed," 3PO went on, "birth records indicate that General Solo's paternal ancestry goes back to Berethron Isolo, who introduced democracy in the Corellian Empire. You can easily track the birthright for the next 6 generations to Coral Solo. Coral married and fathered his first son on Duro nearly 60 years ago, and because of the wars and turmoil, that son never returned home. His name was Dalla Solo, but he changed his name to Dalla Sul to hide his identity during the Clone Wars. His firstborn son was Jonash Sul, and the first son of Jonash Sul was named Han Sul, who changed his name back to Han Solo because he knew of his royal lineage."
The crowd gasped, and Thraken shouted for order. Thraken said,
"Well, what kind of lineage is that? I mean, Dalla Sul was one of the most notorious kingpins in organized crime. You can't expect respectable people to give any credence to Han's claims of royal lineage."
At this point, Han stood up and slowly walked out of the auditorium. That night, Han came to Leia's quarters at the consulate. He gave her a quick hug, then walked in. He didn't say anything, just stood, glancing now and then into her living area. In Leia's bedroom, the dull lights shone from the gems of Galanor on her dresser. The twin suns above the Salab tree had gone dark, as if they were on a night cycle.
I resigned my commission, he finally said.
When did this happen? Leia asked.
5 minutes ago.
Where will you go? What will you do?
I'm going to Dathomir, Han said.
You can't go there. That's in Zinj's territory. It's too dangerous.
Why don't you come with me? Run away.
I can't do that.
It's what you're planning to do with this soldier, run away. Why can't you give me equal time? Who knows? Maybe you'd fall in love with Dathomir. Maybe you'd fall back in love with me.
He sounded so pitiable. Leia had felt guilty ignoring him the past few days. She would always remember the danger and the triumphs they had shared.
But that was a long time ago, she told herself. Look, Anne, I'll always be fond of you, Leia found herself saying. I know it's hard. But have a nice life? Leia found herself shaking. Han strolled over to her dresser, looking at the polished black metal of the gun of command.
Does this really work?
He asked. He started to reach for it, and Leia, realizing what he planned, shouted, Don't touch that! Han snatched the gun and pointed it at her.
Come with me to Dathomir.
You can't do this, Leia pleaded.
A spray of blue sparks erupted from the gun, bringing forgetfulness and the night.